B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
We got Sal Powell on the Comcast Business Hotline. Coming off an Eagle victory where Carson Wentz played well. The offensive line played great. The running back rotation was good. A little shaky on the defensive rush and the secondary. Let's bring him in. The man who covers the NFL like nobody else for ESPN, Sal Palantonio. Hello, Sal.
Michael, how are you?
Well, good. It's been a very interesting day here.
Yes, it has. I've been listening.
Yeah.
I was listening when you put the APB out to that guy, the microphone guy.
Yes, and microphone guy.
But I didn't hear him call in because I had to go into.
Oh, well,
I didn't hear him call in.
Yeah, you got to listen to the podcast because it is kind of riveting what the guy had to say. So
I'll listen to the podcast. Yes, Michael, that's what I will do.
All right, let's talk about this game. And they had absolutely no problem once the second half hit the dispatch in this team. But what did you see that was good and bad in this game?
So DeSean Jackson saved the game. Mike, he may have saved, I'm not overstating this. He may have saved the season. You can't lose to bad teams in your division when you're home in the home opener. And the Eagles are about to sashay into the halftime locker room down 17-0. The game changed. I was watching it very, very closely. I was watching DeSean Jackson. Why? Because he's the most watchable guy on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see how he was doing. So I got the binoculars trained on him. So it's the second quarter. It's about 4 minutes, 38 seconds and change to go. And the Eagles are down 17-0. And Carson Wentz misfires back-to-back to Aguilar and Goddard. And I'm after he misses Goddard, Carson Wentz, DeSean Jackson comes back to the huddle because DeSean Jackson was so wide open, me and you could have hit him. Okay? So DeSean Jackson comes to that back to the huddle. Now I got my binoculars trained on him and I'm watching him moonwalk back into the huddle. And he plants his, I don't know what was said, obviously. I'm not reading lips. I couldn't read lips. But whatever was said was extremely impactful, right? Now, if I could see it up in the press box, in my binoculars, the Redskins defense was watching DeSean Jackson get into Carson Wentz's ear. Now, this is 3rd and 10, 4:19 remaining in the second quarter. Eagles have 3rd and 10 on their own 49. So if I can see it, the Redskins can see it. So they're trained now on DeSean Jackson. And the beautiful thing about what DeSean Jackson does, and I want people to go back and watch the play, he Cadillacs it. For the first 3 seconds, or maybe 2.5, he Cadillacs it off the line of scrimmage as a decoy, like he's not mm-hmm. going to get the pass.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it. You were watching it, right?
Yep.
You saw it. So he Cadillacs it. And then, bang, he hits the accelerator, and he's gone. And Carson does what he was told to do, and he throws it up there perfectly. Nice little parabola, dropped into the midst of number 10, into the end zone, touchdown, and that was the game.
Yeah, that's where he beats Josh Norman on that play. And then later on the second.
Hold on a second. There's a little thing that happens right before that. So after he lights up Carson in the huddle, he lit up the locker room. So he goes into the locker room, takes his helmet off. Again, I don't know what was said exactly. Eventually I'll find out when I write Philly Special 2 or whatever I'm going to write after this season. All right, as a little preview. But whatever DeSean Jackson said in that locker room, I'm going to find out. But apparently he said two things. Here are the two themes that he hit. A, we got these guys because I know them. I played with them. I know what they're like. And we got them.
Yeah.
We got them exactly where we want them. But we got to get our stuff together right now. And then, of course, he hits the second one, and the place is lit on fire.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that they can just let him get past the last line of defense. One safety bites to the other side when DeSean Jackson's on the field.
Think about this for a second, Mike. Think about this for a second. In Carson Wentz's entire tenure there, he hasn't had this kind of
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yep.
Right? Not only talking about the pyrotechnics on the field. I'm talking about the guy who can reach in and grab people's attitudes, shake it a little bit, and then throw it back in their face and do it with authority, the moral authority to lead, which is very, very important. But having been around the league at 32 years old and been there and done that, 53 touchdown passes, second only to Jerry Rice of 30 yards or more. So, I mean, to have this guy be able to do that and have to do it in week one, I thought was just, that was some show. That was a big time show.
Yeah, and I guess you thought the same. You know, we had Jaworski on yesterday about him surveying the field and how cool he was surveying the field and looking off to one side, coming knowing he had the pattern open on the other side. Did you think he has learned a little better to survey the field?
Did Jaws give you eye manipulation of the
safety? Yeah, absolutely. He went exactly eye manipulation. Yes, he did.
Did he give you eye manipulation?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Yes.
Well, that was impressive. But the most impressive thing was, unlike, you know, Matty Ice in Minnesota with the Falcons, Wentz was 9 for 10 for 141 and two touchdowns against the blitz. That was number one of any quarterback in the NFL week one. Mm-hmm. So the beautiful thing about Carson is now, you know, he was always good against the blitz. But, you know, we could talk about him moving the safety around and everything else, but his ability to get out of trouble and deliver the ball on time and accurately is uncanny, Mike. It really is.
All right, let's talk about a couple other things here. The defensive line. Not getting a rush at all, and they lose a defensive tackle. Where do they go from here with that?
Yeah, but the loss of Malik Jackson is not unimportant. It's big, you know. And I'm interested to see whether Jernigan or Ridgeway or anybody else, or how Jim Schwartz changes things. So it's really interesting. I'm thinking to myself, what did Schwartz do? What did Jim Schwartz do? I went back and watched it, and then I called my man, Vincent J. Massey, Jr. at ESPN Stats and Information, and I said to him, give me the blitz numbers, first half, second half. So the Eagles blitzed 28% of the time of Case Keenum's backups, dropbacks, 28% in the first half. In the second half, Schwartzy dropped it down to 9%. So he wasn't getting home with the blitz, and he was leaving his secondary wide open for problems in the first half. So mm-hmm. In the second half, he cuts way back. He plays more coverage-based, and they're much more successful, a la what he did against Case Keenum when he came in here with the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game. Same thing. Now, the difference, obviously, was they had a pick six, and they only allowed 7 points. This time they allowed 17. Now, listen, Michael, here's the thing, right? You can't give up 27 points at home against a bad team, a team with a journeyman backup quarterback, a team with a 97-year-old tight end, a team without a Pro Bowl wide receiver. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
In a Doug Peterson era, they're giving up only 18.5 points per game. That's the best in the NFL during Doug Peterson's time with the Eagles. So giving up 27 points at home, that's the canary in the coal mine here for sure.
All right, so they got to get a better rush. They've got to cover better. I didn't ask you this question because we brought it up and the possibility on how they replace Jackson. Is it possible, are you hearing it all, is it possible they bring Chris Long back and do that switch at an end in the tackle?
Everything that I know, Chris Long's not coming back.
Okay. All right.
That's everything that I know.
The Eagles just signed a defensive tackle. Okay. Akeem Spence.
Okay. Well,
started 16 games for Miami last year.
Okay. Yeah, you got to have somebody in here. Sure. For sure. You got to have a defensive tackle in here. Mm-hmm. Definitely got to plug somebody in.
Okay.
But, you know, here's the thing that's going on in the NFL now. And you and I have talked about this a lot. The pressure comes from your secondary now because the ball comes out so much more quickly. That's why Schwartz made that adjustment in the second half. It's very difficult to get to the quarterback. The Eagles don't have a supremo, pass rusher. They don't have a Lawrence Taylor type of guy who's unblockable. You have to count for on every play and sometimes double team. They don't have that. What they have is a guy who gets in your face in Fletcher Cox. So if you tighten up the coverage, which is what Schwartz did, you might have more success in the pass defense. The problem is, you know, they've got some issues in the secondary. They really do.
They do. All right, last thing I need to ask you, since it's been a topic all day, do you have any kind of opinion on the sometimes the nuisance of certain tailgates?
You're talking about what happened to Mr. Scott?
Yeah, I am talking about that specifically, yes, because we had the guy on who was on the microphone who kind of caused the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, Michael, listen, I never condone that kind of stuff. You know, it's a civilized society, right? Supposedly, right? So if a guy wants to wear a jersey of another team to a game, he should be allowed to do that. But my advice is, and I have friends all over the country who come here, my advice to them is don't poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the Mike Scott part of it. But, you know.
Yeah, that's the Mike. But, you know, don't show up. Don't test your luck. Is what I always say to people.
Yeah,
I've seen some bad stuff out there. It's all bad. People should be arrested for assault and battery, and they should have more undercover cops out there making sure that because here's the bottom line, right? There are a lot of children.
Yeah.
In these tailgates.
Yep.
There are a lot of children and teenagers and young women and women. So. God forbid somebody really gets hurt. So you got to get this under control, and it's up to the police department and the Eagles to make sure they get it under control.
All right. Sounds good. Sal,
don't you think so? Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. We've been talking about the same thing. They're going to have to do some changes here.
They got to get it under control because you don't want some young person getting hurt inadvertently who's not even part of the altercation.
No, I agree. All right, brother. We'll talk to you.
All right,
Sal Powell. On the Comcast Business Hotline. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Your phone calls until we get the sound off on the Mike Misnell Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.